This morning we're going to continue our journey into the hymn book of the ancient Israelites, the book of Psalms, and we're going to be reading Psalm 135. Now we don't know who composed this psalm, we don't know exactly when it was composed, but its structure and its content make it clear that it was intended for worship in the temple, for use in the temple area where people gathered to worship. It's clearly a psalm of praise, praise to the Almighty God. So let's turn then to this psalm of praise and read and listen to what God wants us to hear. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel, as his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the clouds rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, and brings forth the wind from its storehouses. He it was who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and of beast, who in your midst, O Egypt, sent signs and wonders against Pharaoh and all his servants, who struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan, and gave their land as a heritage to his people, Israel. Your name, O Lord, endures forever, your renown, O Lord, throughout all ages. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not hear, do not see. They have ears but do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. O house of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord from Zion, he who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. So far the reading. Now this psalm begins and ends with praise. Praise to the Lord and to his name. The word that's used is one that's quite familiar to us today. We sing it often enough, hallelujah. But what does hallelujah mean today, here in this passage? Let me begin by telling you a story of a minister who had been serving in a small church for a couple of years. As it often goes, some of the times were good, some of the times were less good. But He enjoyed his time in that congregation, and as far as he knew, the congregation appreciated him as well. And then one morning he received a call from an elder of another church who told him that that church had voted to call him as their minister. Following Sunday morning, after much prayer, he told his congregation that he had been called to another church and asked that people keep him in prayer. And it was the practice in that church that people could get up and pray, and a few did. And one elderly lady who was known for her straightforward prayers got up and prayed, "Dear Lord, if it's your will to leave our minister right here among us, we shall say Amen. But if it's your will to send him somewhere else, we'll all say Hallelujah." Now, folks, Psalm 135 isn't a picture of giving thanks because the Lord has seen fit to call your minister or to bless another church with your minister, although of course it might include that. That's not the type of hallelujah that we're talking about here. No, this psalm is about all of life praise. It's a psalm about all of life worship of our great God. It's about praise from beginning to end, just as this psalm begins and ends with giving praise. It's about coming before the Lord, our mighty God, with a hallelujah in our hearts and on our lips. Perhaps one way of putting it is that Psalm 135 is about living hallelujah lives. Now, the psalm has three main sections. There's an initial call to praise, followed by reasons for that praise, and then a final call to praise, a reiteration of that call to praise. First four verses, the audience are called to praise the Lord, and they're also reminded of God's goodness. Verses 5 to 18 speak of God's greatness and his sovereignty. And then verses 19 to 21 is again a call to praise the Lord. So let's begin at the beginning with a call to praise the Lord, for he is good. Verses 1 to 4. Now the first two verses speak directly to those who lead the congregation in worship. They're the servants of the Lord who do duty in the house of the Lord. But these people aren't the only people called to praise. The final three verses, this call to praise is extended. It's extended to include the whole congregation, that is, the whole of Israel, as well as all those who fear the Lord. So while the initial call to praise the Lord is directed to those who lead the congregation, the psalm is about more than that. It's definitely, most definitely, about more than just them. Yes, it is about them, but it's also about those who are on the outside, those of Israel as well as the Gentiles who could not come into the temple area. In other words, it's about all who belong to the Lord, all who've submitted to the King of Glory. For us today, this means that everyone who has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior is called to praise the one and only true God, the one who's called them into his kingdom. And that you do that no matter what culture they might be from, or whether they're green or pink or whatever color, each and everyone is called to hallelujah. And the reason for that praise is God's goodness. Praise the Lord, we are told, for he is good. We're to pray that God is worthy of all praise. We're to worship him for his goodness. Now, there used to be a word that's mostly disappeared from English. It's the word worthship, W-O-R-T-H, ship. And this word gives us some idea of that, what this praise is about. We're to praise God for his worthship. He's worthy of praise. He's deserving of praise. In the verses that follow, the psalmist gives the readers plenty of reasons for this praise that they call to give for God's worthiness. But in verse 4, there's a special reason for praise. Praise is due to the Lord, for he chose Jacob for himself and Israel as his special treasure. This reference to Jacob is highly significant because it refers to how God made a choice even before Jacob was born. The psalmist is looking back to this choice and he sees the sovereign grace of God. And it's for this sovereign grace, this sovereign goodness, that those who have been saved should and must praise God. And that, of course, goes for us as well. And some might say, yeah, that was then, this is now. What's that got to do with us today? Thousands of years after Jacob, thousands of years after the writer of this psalm. Beloved in Christ, if God's word given through the psalmist is right, and of course it is, don't we have even a greater reason to rejoice and to praise our God? We, God's people in Christ, have received grace upon grace upon grace. He's chosen us. And of course, the greatest example of God's sovereign grace and goodness is his gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus. Our gracious, our loving God has chosen us to be rescued from our sin. He's blessed us with a gift of his Son. Once and for all, our bonds have been broken. We've been given new life. And if that isn't already more than enough, there's yet more. He didn't stop there, for he didn't just redeem us. He didn't just forgive us. He didn't just heal us. No, through the gift of his Spirit, he also keeps renewing us, keeps nourishing us. The Holy Spirit keeps drawing us closer to God. He keeps strengthening us. He keeps reinvigorating us every single day. And truly that is blessing upon blessing, goodness upon goodness, grace upon grace. Yes, congregation, the Lord God has indeed been good to us. And he surely remains good to us. And then the only appropriate response for us should be to praise him. And it doesn't just apply to when we get together here on a Sunday morning. No, it's a lifelong thing. Listen to how the psalmist puts it in Psalm 146. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Often that is easy to do. Like when the operation you've just had has been successful, or when after many years you've been blessed with a baby, when your boyfriend has at long last asked you to marry him, or when you've prayed for an ill friend and he or she has recovered, then it's easy to give thanks to God, to praise him. But even as people of God, it's not always easy for us to praise God in all circumstances in our life. That's what we are called to do. Now, perhaps the dark clouds in your life obscure your vision and you feel overwhelmed. Perhaps you have a child that's been diagnosed with an incurable disease. Perhaps you're discouraged because your relationship is in trouble. Perhaps a drawn-out conflict with a family member has worn you out. Or maybe you've learned that you're about to be retrenched and you know that at your age it will be very difficult to find another job and you don't know what the future holds for you. At times like these, it's easy to turn inward and forget to praise God. But beloved in Christ, even in these times, or especially in these times, we can and indeed must praise our God, for he is good. He's not only good, he's incredibly good. And if we remember that incredible goodness of God, if we think of what he has done for us, how can we not praise him? If we think especially of the love that he's shown to us by sending his son so that you and I might live, how can we not praise him joyfully? How can we not cry out, praise the Lord, hallelujah? And that hallelujah mustn't just be a jingle in our lives. It shouldn't just be a word that's used as an exclamation or a word to stir up emotions. It must be the song of our lives. Just as this psalm begins and ends with hallelujah, so we need to frame the bookend of our lives by praising this magnificent God that we are blessed to call our Father. And we can truly only do this if we have a vision of just how majestic, how awesome, how good, how sovereign, how almighty this great God is. And that's what the psalmist helps us to do when he writes verses 5 to 18. That's what verses 5 to 18 are about. Praise the Lord for his sovereignty and power and love. So the first picture the psalmist draws for us in verses 5 to 7 is of who God is. He paints a picture of God's nature, God's character. God is the great and sovereign God, the creator God who is above all so-called gods. Everything in heaven and on earth is subject to him, for he made it all. He's the one who put all the planets in their orbits. He's the one who wondrously sprinkled stars across the heaven. He's the one under whose authority everything and in heaven and on earth falls. And he's the one who, in his wonderful grace, made you, made me, and placed faith in our hearts. And he can do that because he is the sovereign God. Friends, how much do we have to be thankful for? How much reason do we have to cry out, hallelujah, praise the Lord? And you know what? Just as we in this worship service proclaim how great our God is, so we can and must do the same by how we live out our lives before others. We praise our God by the way that we live, so others too will hear how great is our God. And beloved, we can do this. We can do this. We can do it by and through the grace that this amazing God gives us. Praise the Lord, for He is the great and creator God, the sovereign creator God, who has wonderfully made you. And He's given each and every one of us the capacity to praise Him. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how long you've known Jesus. We can praise Him with a song on our lips and a song in our hearts. We can do it by being a song of praise to Him. By what we do, how we do it. By what we say, how we say it. By what we think. And what we allow, or where we allow our thoughts to go to. In the next section, verses 8 to 13, the psalmist goes on to give evidence of God's greatness through His mighty acts in history. Praise the Lord, he says, because He's your Savior. Praise Him because He's the one who redeemed you from the land of slavery. Now, unlike the powerless gods that people make for themselves, the Lord God is not just a mighty God. No, He is the Almighty God who has power to redeem and save. He delivered His people from their slavery in Egypt. He made them into a nation of His own. He brought them into the promised land, which He gave them as a heritage. He has fulfilled all His promises to His people. Both God's creation and His mighty acts of salvation must surely drive His people to adore Him, to worship Him, to praise Him. And friends, again, how much more than the ancient Israelites do we have a reason to give thanks, to adore and to worship the Almighty God. He's not only delivered us from the land of our sin, from the slavery of our sin, but He continues to pour that grace, that goodness, that love into our lives every day. This is the God of faithfulness, the God of redemption. This is the God who didn't only promise redemption. He didn't only promise redemption from our slavery to sin. He didn't just promise to make us into new people. He actually did it through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is the God who, through the work of Jesus, has drawn us into His family. This is the God who has brought you and me not only into an earthly promised land, but has given us an eternal promised land, eternal life in the company of our gracious God. This is the God who, in the words of the Apostle Peter, has given us an inheritance that can never fade, never perish, is kept in heaven for us who have been redeemed. This is the God who is with us now and evermore. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your God, your Savior, your King, and He's worthy of all your praise. But He's not just worthy of praise because He's sovereign. He's not just worthy of praise because He's powerful, because He's almighty. He's also worthy of our praise because He is a loving God, as verse 14 teaches us. Now this verse echoes what Moses said back in Deuteronomy, "For the Lord will vindicate His people and have compassion on His servants." Word for word what Moses said in Deuteronomy. What a beautiful picture that is of what God has already done in Christ, and also what is yet to come when Christ returns. God's love, God's compassion, His compassion for His people was shown in how He brought them out of slavery, how He established them as a nation, in how He would always be with them. He would be the great I Am. He had compassion on them. Even though they were rebellious, He maintained and upheld and vindicated them before the other nations. And all of that, brothers and sisters, would come to a brilliant fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Here was the Redeemer in flesh to justify His people, to make them right with God. What compassion that is. What amazing love that is. Jesus, Son of God, the compassionate one, making right with God those who were even then his enemies. Surely, surely we can cry out, hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. And because of his grace, because of his compassion, because of his love, you and I stand acquitted. The right and the righteous wrath of God has been absorbed by his love, by his compassion, through Jesus. And amazingly, wonderfully, there's more to come. For when Christ returns, we will stand before God, justified in Christ, clothed with his righteousness, washed by his blood, and ready to spend eternity with him in the eternal house of the Lord. How magnificent is that? How worthy of hallelujah is that? How can we not exclaim with overflowing hearts, praise the Lord? God is the sovereign creator of heaven and earth, of the universe. He's the saving God. He's the loving God. He's given us everything that we would ever need. As the hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty, says, O my soul, praise him, for he is your health and salvation. Praise to the Lord. O let all that is in me adore him. It is to this all of self, all of life praise that verses 19 to 21 return. The God of Israel, our God, is great and he is almighty. He is the creator God. He is the redeeming and saving God. He is a loving and compassionate God, and he's worthy of all praise. Now, well, the people of Israel gathered together to worship, but some areas were off limits to those who were not priests or Levites, and also those believers who were not Israelites, the Gentiles who came to faith. Now, verses 19 to 20 address each one of these groups in turn. First, the psalmist calls on the house of Israel, the people whom God had set apart for himself as a holy nation. Then he addresses the house of Aaron, those called to be priests to the Most High. Then he speaks to the Levites who assisted the priests. And then lastly, he turns to the Gentiles, those outside the house of Israel, but who fear the Lord. All of these are called to bless the Lord. Now, while that's not exactly the same word as the hallelujah with which the psalm opens and closes, blessing the Lord means to extol his greatness, extol his goodness, to do so genuinely, meaning it from the depth of your heart. Well, that is praises, isn't it? Perhaps it's best to say that it means to joyfully exalt God. And our psalm tells us that this praising or blessing of God wasn't something that applied just to the ones that serving in the temple in some way or form. It wasn't for those who were born Israelites only. Everyone assembled there was called on to joyfully exalt and glorify and adore him. They were there to praise the Lord. Now, friends, we too, all of us, were once outside the camp of God's people. All of us. But the Almighty, loving, sovereign God chose to lift us out of that misery of our sin, out of the muck in which we found ourselves. At enormous cost, he brought us into his family. And just like the people to whom the psalmist wrote, we have every reason to praise this magnificent God to whom we belong. It doesn't matter who we are, boys, girls, husbands, wives, starting on the journey with the Lord or getting close to the end of a lifetime with him, ministers or elders or deacons, your and my task is to praise the Lord, all of us. The composer Isaac Watts wrote, I'll praise my Maker while I have breath, and when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler powers. My days of praise shall never be past while life and thought and being last or immortality endures. May this be the way that you and I think about things too. Our days of praise shall never be past. You see, just like this psalmist froze between the two hallelujahs. So everything in your life, in my life, has to be framed within the act of giving praise to God. Praising God has to do with biblical, reverent worship in church rather than entertainment. Praising God is about living your life in a way that brings praise to God. Our lives must be a song of praise to God. Praising God flows out in the respect with which you treat your spouse, not only in public, but also in your time alone. It has to flow out in the way we speak to others, to believers and unbelievers alike. And that doesn't mean we have to start each sentence with hallelujah or end with another hallelujah or even an amen. But beloved in Christ, if our words do not glorify and honor our great God, then we are not praising Him. And if we don't do things that reflect the light of Christ that has been shone into our lives, then we're not praising God. If what we do doesn't reflect the light that Christ has shone into our lives, then we are not praising Him. The psalm paints a picture of an awesome, sovereign, almighty, compassionate, gracious, and faithful God who is worthy of all praise. This is your God. This is your King. And this is the God who will sustain and strengthen you. This is the God who has saved your soul. If that doesn't lead you to a life surrounded with praise for Him, then honestly, I don't know what will. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus, praise our sovereign God for whom He is. Praise Him because He's the almighty creator and sustainer of life. Praise Him for what He has done and continues to do in our lives. Praise Him for redeeming us, for saving us, for giving us life in Jesus. Praise Him for His love, His forgiveness, His kindness, His compassion, His mercy, His grace. Praise Him for His uncountable blessings. Praise God, for He alone does wondrous things. And He has done wondrous things in each of our lives. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh Lord, as we reflect on your word this morning, we thank you for the way that the Psalms bring out not only the struggles of this life, but also show us how we ought to praise you even amidst those struggles. And Lord, as your people, we recognize that through the ups and downs of life, you are and you remain a faithful and loving God. Lord, we want to lean on you. We want to trust you and depend on you. And most of all, we want to praise and glorify you. So we pray that as you work in our hearts, as you work in our lives, that our praise of you will flow out into every aspect, every part of our lives, so that our whole being might praise you. And so also show others the light of Christ that you have shone into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.